Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday, June 13th edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel here, as always, with Joel Conan and Dennis Dick on the show this morning. Got ourselves a little rally we've had in the last few days in Under Armour and Nike since the start of the NBA Finals. That's over now, so is this the end? Is it time to sell the rally in those two stocks? We'll talk about that. Of course, we have the start of our Fed meeting today, so we're going to get a little interest rate talk, if we can. Not too much, I hope. Not too much, but just enough to fill the interest rate quota. And we'll take your questions from the chat, as always. Throw your tickers in the chat, and we will address them as many as we can. Our guest today is Nick Shaheen. He's our options expert, the author of Create Income with Option Spreads on MarketFi. Joel, how's it going in the markets this morning?
Not bad. S&Ps have recovered from that huge correction that we had. We're trading up 350 at 2430. Caught a bid right off that 6 p.m. open. Not much in the 2430 handle until you get up to that all-time closing high of 3550. On the downside, no damage until we take out the pre-market low of 25.25 daily pivot right there as well. Gold continues to leak. Not big down days, but just, you know, $5-6 a day chipping away. As we looked a week ago or so ago, the gold stocks didn't respond to this rally, and now you know why. Pulling back to the 1260 area, crude hanging out, trying to find a home above 46, 46.41 is your pre-market high. Of course, you have oil inventory numbers coming out today and tomorrow, and silver has lost the $17 level, trading down 12.5 cents at 16.82. Dennis, how are you doing on this gorgeous Tuesday morning here in the Motor City?
Why is it gorgeous? It's pretty hot.
Well, I mean, do you like the alternative? Freezing cold weather. It's not that hot yet. It's still in the mid-70s here, but it's summer.
Hot. 90 degrees every day. What's going on? Is this global warming?
No, there's no such thing as that, Dennis. You know
that's
that.
That's just a bad. That's all just a fairy tale, the global warming. No, it feels like global warming out there. It was hot. It's been really hot here. So in the Motor City and obviously across the border, even in Windsor as well. Hot, 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 hot. And you know what else is hot this morning?
Momos.
The Momos are hot again. They were cold for a day and a half, and they are all of a sudden. You know what? Two-day whirl worked perfectly on all of these things. Just saying, you know, you get the follow-through the next day, and then they start to come in buying them, you know, early morning. It's just exactly what happened. So we got hit. So basically, let's just go to the biggest Momo of them all, which is NVIDIA. And obviously, you know, the Citron collapse on, you know, just 2 days ago, and then yesterday morning. It gets some follow through. It's weak, but then it starts to find buyers around that 10 a.m., which is what we always talk about after the 2 days, usually around a half an hour after the open, after everybody has washed out from, you know, the Johnny come latelys that call their broker and they're wanting to sell the bottom. Then it starts to find some buyers, and that's exactly what's materialized, and it's continued here. So we actually closed in the green on NVIDIA yesterday, and that continues today. NVIDIA popping another 4 points here. So the Momos, who became no-nos for a day and a half, are back to Momos again, Joel.
I was talking about the closes as significant levels in these issues, and maybe I should have been paying a little bit more attention to the previous day's low, because you did have a red dog reversal. Low on Friday, 42.75, 42.11 print and turned around. If you had a buy stop coming back above 42.75, you would have had absolutely no heat here. I don't know, 150 versus 180, or 120 versus 180, that was left's call here. Let's see. I mean, you got a big red bar to battle up here. Maybe a 50, well, it was like a 20-point move. How high did it get? No, it almost got to 170. So you
had an unbelievable collapse.
26-point move. Half of that, 13. 155. It's right there. It's
right there.
Yeah. Wow.
50% retrace. That is just textbook technical trading here. Two-day rule involved, too. I know there's no two-day rule in the textbooks there, but that's the Dennis rule, the two-day rule, and that's the one I like the most. But, yeah, 155, you know, it's a level there, you could say, for the 50% retracement.
Huh, look the way it's flattening out there, too. I mean, you got a pre-market high of 54.97.
But that's pretty much all you got is the 50% retracement because there's not much else in there. We always like, you know, we talk the fibs and the 50%. We usually like to coincide with another high or another low. Something else, and on all of these stocks, you're going to have trouble finding that. Let's go to its brother-in-law, AMD, which obviously collapsed as well with NVIDIA there. And, you know, these charts look the same. Thing collapses down and gets the pop around 10 o'clock in the morning. Closed fairly strong and continuing to rally here this morning. So same thing happening here in AMD.
All right, let's see. AMD was a little trickier because you had a 1163 low when you went all the way to 1127. So that was a little trickier. But if you're relying on your daily charts here, you would have saw that you had a matching low there. Your four-day low was 1124. You hit 1127. So a little bit different. You still could have made a little money when it came back up through that 1163 as it closed at 1209, 1235. We're knocking on the door yesterday's high. That'll be a good level to take out early.
Let's jump over to a few other Momo names there. Let's go to the Bobster, Alibaba, because this one was very loved, obviously, after their increased sales guidance, and then hated because they sold off all the Momos. Well, it's starting to get loved a little bit more. Actually, it didn't even when it came back down, though, it couldn't even get back down to the lows of the day that they announced that increased sales guidance or for 2018. So, you know, it held on a little bit better, technically speaking, and now it's starting to catch a bid here as well. And if I was had to buy any of these things right now, and, you know, it's really hard because a lot of these are in the middle of nowhere. But if you know, you're putting a gun to my head and saying, look, you got to buy one of these Momos, which one are you going to pick? I might pick the Bobster.
I'm surprised that we haven't had any analyst revisions with price targets on this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really surprised. You know, that's coming. Well, actually, that is not true because we did get somebody. It was a smaller analyst I saw initiating coverage today here on Alibaba. Do you have that one, Spencer? There was a smaller one here. I can go try to hunt it down if you don't have it.
I'll hunt it down for you. Baba this morning was...
There was somebody.
No. Oh wow! It's so small. It's not
Raymond
even.
James?
Not even. No, they're not. They're not small. Come on.
No, I'm trying to find out who it was. There's multiple people. I think people are talking that Raymond James raised their price target today. So they're not small. But Raymond James, it looks like, raised their price target here on Alibaba this morning. So we do have a couple analysts chasing price. That's obviously helping the stock out. It's trading up 2% here in the pre-market. I don't know, Julie. Okay, so I picked, you know, my Momo stock, my Momo call, if I had to buy one. Not saying I am, but if I had to, which one would you pick? You know, you got the Googles. You could even throw, you know, your Facebooks, your Netflix, your NVIDIAs. I almost had to pay a quarter there. I didn't correct it myself. Which one are you picking?
I gotta pick one here.
And it just has to, you know, you're just, you know, saying which one you like the best. Is it not necessarily saying you like any of them. Which one would you like the best here?
I mean, are you gonna call
Look
me
through, like the big five or six?
Are you calling me a chicken if I say Apple?
No, you could go Apple.
Yeah.
I'll include it. I mean, that's obviously, it's trading like a Momo now. It's more of a value tech stock, and I will say, yeah. So long term, I like Apple the most out of all these because you're getting value there. I mean, Apple's still trading up multiples, forward multiples of 16 looking forward here. So if you're looking at a value tech stock, I don't think there's a better one still out there than Apple. Got hit really hard, obviously 13 points down here in a couple of trading sessions there. Closed fairly strong, is trading up another buck and a half. For some reason, it's a Momo stock all of a sudden again too. But, you know, this is more of a value tech.
All right, so I can't pick that one. Then
you can pick it. Is that your pick?
Yeah, that's my pick.
I allowed it.
I mean, the other thing too, and I can mention this in a couple different stocks. You know how, and you mentioned this yesterday, how Tesla just like shrugged it. I mean, they got hit on Friday, but it was like no big deal. Nothing in relation to the other stocks. And look at the strength. It made a new low and at 350. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to switch to Tesla and knock you out of your chair there. But just the way this thing held up, the relative strength, and then another stock that we talked about, much different sector, how the Citigroup, while all these other financials were pulling back off their highs and stuff, you couldn't even, you got that thing, what, $3-4 off its high? But then when they regained their MoMo, Citigroup was the leader. Not a great day yesterday, but did make a new high for the move. It's 65.40.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you look at those best of breed stocks, and if we're talking MoMOs, I mean, you know, don't talk fundamentals, don't talk the company, but just talk the chart here. I mean, Tesla has performed the best. You're absolutely right. We are right here at all-time highs. Well, actually, we're 10 points off. Tesla catching an upgrade this morning, so there's still some love out there from Berenberg. They are upgrading it to buy, so that's giving Tesla a little extra push here this morning, but you're right. That one held on the best, I would say, out of all of them, you know, considering the run it had had. It only got to the low from 3 days ago when it pulled back there. So incredible, you know, strength still being displayed here in Tesla, despite selling off 20 points.
And once again, you can apply the old 50% trick here to get a level that's called 377 to 350, 27-point move, 13.5. That takes you up to the 363s, 364 area. I mean, it's, you know, also looking at a closing basis, but a lot of nice setups here if you're a fan of the 50% retracement.
Okay, I don't want to get political here, but I saw the same thing that Ace is pointing out here. It went by on my Twitter timeline stream there, and it says high school. So this high school censored out all of their Trump slogans in their yearbook. So this kid is wearing a Trump slogan in his picture in his yearbook, and they actually edited out the Trump, the pro-Trump, photoshopped out the Trump part of his pictures. And he did that with multiple people this high school. Is this not taking it a little bit too far? When you're going to edit your high school,
who,
you know,
cares?
You got a high school editing, you know, out pictures. Yeah, isn't this ridiculous? I mean, and then you look at Time Magazine had it, you know, on there. They're calling Trump a liar.
Who
right
cares?
On the front of-
who cares? Seriously, who cares?
Who cares that who we're cares? Talking about it, or who cares that they did it?
Who cares that what one high school? I don't care.
It was your high school, Spencer, that did it. We forgot that that's breaking. Yeah. It was breaking news.
You're right. Okay.
It's not like, good.
Like, love or hate
it's
the
not
guy.
Good.
Come on. You know, do you have to do stuff like this? I know there's a lot of Trump, you know, haters out there, and maybe this school is one of them, but you got to Photoshop out, you know, a kid that's supporting Trump, and I think they did it on multiple pictures. It's ridiculous.
What I don't understand is the person that, I mean, like, you do certain things and you're a little kid and you're like, oh, I probably won't get caught. How could you not get caught doing something like this? How could it not be? I mean, the kid's going to look at his picture and see this? I mean.
Yeah, he's like, I had a Trump shirt on. What the hell happened? I don't know. It's getting ridiculous. Ace just pointed out in the chat and I found that.
I saw it yesterday, too.
I woke up. I saw it in my timeline, too. So people are talking about it. And then, you know, Time Magazine's got, you know, right on their front page of the magazine, something about Trump. What was it called? A liar in charge or whatever?
I don't know, but you got to sell magazines, right? I mean, that's the name of the game. I guess I don't really care what one high school does or what one headline is in one magazine.
It's just showing you, like, how divided, you know, this country has become here. And, you know, and you can blame Trump for that, but you got to get behind your president at a certain point in time, don't you? Like, I mean, do you have to, okay, you don't have to fully support him, but, you know, do you have to keep, you know, pounding, you know, the table on, you know, how bad of a president this guy is? I mean, the market said it's okay. I mean, not that I'm a Trump fan either here, but, you know, we're beating a dead horse here. He's your president. I mean, he's making the decisions here. They're not impeaching him. You know, everybody does talk about impeaching him. He's going to have to do something really bad to get impeached here. I mean, let's just accept the fact he's a president and deal with it. You know, this photoshopping, you know, pictures of, you know, the T-shirts that are supporting it just wound me up this morning.
Oh, I know. The teacher, you can be relieved. Jag Trader said the teacher who did it was suspended.
Good. That should be fired almost for that. That's absolutely ridiculous. So, anyways, let's move on. We don't want to get political here because whenever we get political, the chat gets
wound up.
We
get pulled.
We don't
over.
Want to wind the chat up here this morning. So,
yeah. Well, let's move on to the things we actually know about. You know, like
okay, market. I'm going back to technical charts. It's Technical Tuesday here, and I'm going back to one of the MoMOs that became a no-no for one day and actually put a double bottom in square. Check this chart out. SQ. Perfect double bottom from the last 2 days. And this is just showing you, look for setups like this when stuff like this happens. When you see a big, huge whoosh, and then, you know, it closes off the whoosh, but then the next day it comes back down and tries to test that level, If it just kind of hangs out there and looks like it's going to hold, and it gave you a couple shots, it went down there and it hung out there for a good half an hour, right around 22:41, and then started to catch a bit, and boom, it's already up a buck from there. So, you know, you look for setups like that. You know, where are the old lowest from yesterday? Sometimes those levels come into play again because there's a lot of technical traders out there just looking for setups. And not only that, maybe there's an institution sitting there saying, I want to bring some of this in, or maybe I want to cover some of my short, or maybe I want to buy some at this level. So those double bombs work. Yesterday would have worked in SQ.
This is a perfect Harlan Pyon chart here. You had a breakout from the 2250 area, went up, stopped at a whole number, so Dennis would have been selling it at 2497. Then you had your pullback to old resistance, new support. I mean, if anything, you're looking at a lower risk trade, right? If you're buying, you're just throwing out a whole number, you're saying, oh, I'm buying it at 23 on Monday. Well, you know, you're taking a little heat down to 22.41, whereas if you get a double bottom at 22.41, you know, maybe you try a 22.60 bid with a 22.30 stop, you know, because you're not going to get the exact number. But I like this one here, and once again, you could do the old 50% retracement. That's a 2.5-point move, 23.75. That would be your 50% retracement. Yesterday's high, 23.74.
Couple other stocks I had on my list to talk about here. One, looking here, we were looking at technical setups because it's Technical Tuesday. The old Taser, AAXN, which is Axon Enterprises. Joel, check out this 24 level here. This one is interesting.
All right, let's take a look at the, oh boy, there it is.
Boy.
Institution, right? It has to be an institution there. It's just
when you see a thing bottom 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it makes you think that there's just somebody big sitting there accumulating stock. And when that institution gets filled, or you know that buyer or whoever's been supporting that level backs off, you get that little whoosh through. So, you know, this thing starts going down 23.80. There's a setup, you know, to trade this thing down to 23. And, you know, that's the way, you know, when I'm trading these things, you know, to anticipate it is one thing. But, you know, when you actually see it go through, then you have the conviction to actually, you know, make the trade. So, you know, I would say it's still support until it's broken. But when it breaks that 24 support, man, there's not much air. There's a lot of air, really, until 22. But we know we go to the next hole number, 23. But there's a setup there.
And, you know, you just hope they just don't, like, pull their bid and then say, okay, we're going to try this at 23.80 again, you know, and fool the market. Close at 24.20, but great level. It's not quite the 50% retracement. What you had, you had a 7-point move there, 3.5. So that takes it up more up to the 24.60, 24.70 level. So just below that. And a breakout over 25 here, pair of highs over 25, could be some continued upside.
Jumping over to SMG. We got some news on this one, Spencer.
Scott's Miracle-Gro. Not doing too much growing. They are lowering their guidance for the year. They cut their fiscal year EPS by 10 cents on each end, the low end and the high end of the range. And they cut their sales growth from 6 to 7% down to 3 to 4%.
Stock is trading down the pre-market about $2.50, so they are hitting this. Just very light volume, only 600 shares have traded, so you know a little word of caution there. But usually when you lower guidance, usually the stock's going to go down. So we're taking out the low of 82.85. I think that maybe becomes your resistance point here. Now, the stock chart's been hit in the last month, Joel.
Yeah, and there's not much in there until, I mean, if you want to use 80 as a psych level, 78.73 was your low back in September of 2016. So look for that. It's a potential area. Not a lot of volume here. If, in fact, you can get a rally, you will find resistance here at the former low of the move, which was 83.46. But still some price discovery here in SMG. And is there any... I'm trying to think of a sympathy plan this one, Dennis. You got any ideas for Scott's Miracle-Gro?
There's, you know, a lot of different fertilizer companies you can look at, but this is kind of, you know, not the same because they're more for household products. So, you know, like I'm putting Scott's Miracle-Gro on my lawn, where, you know, you can look into the potash and the agrium, you know, obviously, you know, they're fertilizer, you're looking at farming. So I don't know if the chat's got one direct or if the Brentster who's sitting there on the Benzinga news desk, he's the sympathy master back there. If he has one for SMG, let us know here. But nothing jumping directly related out to me. You know, the best thing I could think of is like a potash or an agrium.
Who was looking at potash yesterday. Someone in the chat, and it had that nice move, and I can remember.
And it continued.
It did continue.
In the morning.
Yeah, but look where it failed, Dennis. It failed.
Exact opposite.
Yep.
You know what? And this is a great point you're making here, because just as, you know, this was the opposite trade in the value stock. So you had all those Momo stocks that were no-nos right on the open, and they all collapsed them. And then at 10 o'clock, they started turning. It was the exact same thing in the value stocks. And POT is a good example here, where they bought this thing and it blasted off the open. But then around 10 o'clock, they started moving money out of the value stocks and actually back into the Momo. So it's just a complete rotation. Look at Gilead. This is a great example here. I think it was Downward Dog who was long it and liking it for a trade. And Downward Dog, I hope you got out, because it had a huge pop right on the open. It went $2 in like the first 15 minutes. That's an enormous move for Gilead on no news. And then just slowly started giving it back around like that 9:30 or 9:45, 10 o'clock time, when the money was starting to come out of the value stocks and back into the growth stocks again. So it's funny how, you know, you can actually see the rotation in these charts.
And you also had a nice move in J.P. Morgan off the open as well. I noticed that really took off, gave back some of the gains. But going back, just
it's a bell though.
Yeah, it does.
The financials are value stocks. Like there's, you know, lower multiples on those things.
All right, you did have a 66.70 high on that quick move in Gilead. I don't know if Downward Dog was holding out for 66.90 because that was your high on May 12th. Now back in the 65 handle.
Jumping back over to the ratings parade here. We gave you Tesla, but there's a few other ones that are of interest here this morning. Let's go to Foot Locker, FL, which we haven't talked about for a while. It's getting downgraded this morning at Argus. That stock here has actually been getting hit pretty hard, so they've been chasing it here. But I haven't looked at the Foot Locker chart in a while, and this thing's ugly.
Oh, man.
Last month, like, we had, you know, the disappointing earnings report, I believe it was, when it lost 10 points. And this just goes to show you, a lot of people want to come in and say, oh, Foot Locker loses 10 points of buying opportunity. Well, when there, you know, when there's problems there, sometimes, you know, this consolidation will happen, and then you'll get a continuation of the original move. Well, the original move was a gap, but it's been ugly, and you've kind of the gap and go down. So, you know, we talk about the gap and go, and they're gapping up. They can do the same thing when they gap down on bad news. They can continue to just erode in price, and that's what we've seen from Foot Locker. But now we're getting a downgrade. And this is a little bit late to the party.
Over 56. I mean, I'm not touching this thing until you get a couple closes over 56. 56 was the high yesterday. I mean, it could be. Keep an eye on the low of the move here. Let's see if that's tested. You're trading down 34 cents only. Yesterday's low may come into play here. Our two-day low is 53.11, 54.37. That hasn't even been taken out yet. So Street may be fading this one as well.
What about as this relates to Nike and Under Armour?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
What do you think about that?
I think it's...
UA and Nike have been taken off.
Right. It's funny.
Way.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, people always say, you know, that what's happening, you know, on TV or in sports doesn't affect the market, but... and I tend to agree with that, but I mean, look at the past 8 days since the NBA Finals started. I mean, Nike and Under Armour both having really, really good weeks. The Warriors are, of course, an Under Armour team. Steph Curry wears Under Armour. LeBron James wears Nike. Kevin Durant wears Nike. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not one to think this should have any impact on the stock, but people are maybe watching. People are watching the games and think, oh, Under Armour, that's a good company. Is that happening? I guess
it does. It just traders anticipate, you know, that okay, well, if the Warriors win here, I'm going to buy ahead because, you know, it's going to be more publicity for Under Armour. You know, and Nike obviously involved with that too. With who wears Nike? Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant and LeBron James wearing Nike. And
so that's just more exposure, and, you know, it happens. You know, everybody's watching that, so, you know, the traders will anticipate ahead of that. What I will tell you, though, from my experience, is that these are typically short-lived. So when you have these moves like this where, you know, you have this, you know, run-up here, you know, because they're getting more publicity there, those gains are typically short-lived. So this UA run that we've had here, and that's coupled with also, you know, a flight to some of the value, you know, that also has a little bit of, you know, the value jumping into the retail. retailers here, because we know when Nordstrom and Kohl's and Macy's have all kind of started taking off, and all these retailers that have kind of been beat up have actually found a little bit of a bid the last few days. So there's a little extra maybe going on in Under Armour there. But, you know, Nike and Under Armour, you can't argue with the charts.
Yeah, I was just looking at it with Chubbs on the desk here, and I'm like, well, when did the NBA Finals start? And he's like, well, June 1st. And then I looked at the beginning of the rally, and just a steady climb. That's 8 days in a row. Can maybe continue for the ninth. We're getting into that huge gap area. I mean, this thing was beaten down. You know, shorts eventually have to cover, right, to redeploy their assets other places. But we'll see. How's it doing in the pre-market? Is it still continuing in the pre-market?
Very slight. Yeah. Very slight.
Folks, keep an eye on the close there, that closing price to determine. I mean, eight-day rallies we know can turn into 9 and 10 and 11, and in the case of Fizz, many more than that. But always like to keep an eye on the mark here. Nice rally in shares of Unarmed. Spencer, did you ever buy it? I know you were looking to buy this thing under 20. Did you ever dip, or was that your friend?
It was my friend, and he bought it, and he's out.
He got stopped.
Quick money.
He bought it and he's out.
Did he get stopped out or did he take some profit?
I don't entirely know. I just know he's out. He bought it and then decided.
Does any friend ever get stopped out, Joel? Question.
I don't know.
Do friends get stopped out? Friends usually don't take losses, from my experience. So they usually take the profits quickly and the losses slowly. But, you know, maybe, you know, if you've got some smart friends, it's not the case, I guess. But, you know, there's definitely, and not saying your friend's dumb, but I'm just saying overall, people who aren't involved in the market tend to, like, not want to sell at losses.
Yeah, okay, then he had a profit.
My opinion.
RCA is asking me about this Western Digital, and I just haven't looked.
You still got it, Joel?
I still got it. I think I may just get rid of it so you quit asking me about it here. But getting initiated at ages with a buy and $130 price target. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. I'm talking about stopping out under 80. I'm not trying to pick a top here in this, but, you know, mental stop under 80, and got to 82.50 yesterday. These stocks, I mean, Western Digital and Seagate.
They're running.
Yeah, they're running.
Absolutely incredible.
I finally,
as hated as they were in 2016, Western Digital, and Joel bought the bottom. They got down to $34.99 in a year and a half. Just over a year, really. We're at $87 here. I mean, if you're coming in these things now as long-term investments, this is the definition of chasing to me.
You know what? I'm going to ask the Rev about this one because I remember him talking about it. There was a big dividend at that time, and that was one of the reasons. I'm like, oh, I'll buy it for 4%. You know, I think it had 6-7% dividend at the time. I'm like, hey, well, you know, it could go down another 3-4 bucks. I'm even, and I will talk to the Rev about that one, see what he thinks.
Jumping back over, just on that same Aegis there, initiating also Seagate there, I saw as well, STX with a buy, and that stock, similar charts. I mean, these two stocks look very similar there, $50 price target for Seagate, stock trading slightly up here in the pre-market there, but coming back into an area of resistance. I'm actually talking against my book because I do have that just on as a trading position there, but who talks against their book? Only me. I'll just say it's coming into a pile of resistance up here at 41, in the 42 area, like I would say between 42 and 43, that's where you have a lot of overhead supply. So hard to just jump in here this morning and say, oh, let's buy this thing up. It's, you know, going to be, you know, the next after that breakdown I had yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that several lows there. I remember this $41.75 to $42 area. Now, that could act as resistance, certainly not acting like Western Digital. Maybe looking to fill the gap down to 38 here, but we'll see all those buyers at 42. Let's see if they turn into sellers.
8:29. We're going to get the imbalances here in just a minute there, but a couple other stocks that we do have on our list to talk about there, and one of them is, and my list
right,
here well, is starting to get.
While you do that, why don't I pull up the fact that the Morgan Stanley Financials Conference is today.
Yeah,
it starts today, so you get a lot of big executives at these conferences talking about the companies. Today will be J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, BlackRock. They're all going to be in attendance. So will Oak Tree Capital, OAK, On Deck, Carlyle Group. And at events like this, you can sometimes get movement in stocks based on comments that these are the CEOs that they're going to be making at at this conference. So watch out in the financials today for if you see a some movement, you don't know why, that could be your reason.
Just a tactical trading comment on that. I mean, if maybe use like good news on a stock to try and exit a long, or bad news on the stock, you know, to cover short, because a lot of times, you know, you'll see that immediate blip and then it returns. So trading intraday is treacherous enough, but trying to bank on comments during those conferences, Dennis, I know
tricky.
I mean, you don't know who had the news before you had it, but certainly will have an impact. I think what's going to have much more of an impact in our financials today is our Fed meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, and are they going to buy the stocks ahead of this? You know, they have been buying these up for a couple of days, although there was a little bit of selling there yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon. But, you know, it's a consideration there, Joel, is that, you know, with this, you know, a lot of times they do come in and they buy these stocks ahead of the meeting. So what are you thinking here when you talked Citigroup chart already, but let's talk, you know, Bank of America, which has had a big run-up as well. I mean, everybody hated this 4 days ago when it was $22. Now it's 24. It's had a three-day, four-day run here. It's been a pretty big run-up ahead of this Fed meeting.
I think I would lighten up just from the perspective.
I think so, too.
Yeah, just from the fact is, you know, it looks like it's a foregone conclusion. They're going to do another rate hike, but I think they back off on the tone a little bit for, you know, two more hikes in the year. That jobs number last month wasn't anything to blow the doors off. So, I mean, I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to do it. And then it's a question of hawkish versus dovish. And I think they're going to be a little bit dovish, but we'll see what the market, if they come out and they say, we're going a quarter now, we're going another quarter, then it's a foregone conclusion. Then see ya. You know, these bank stocks are going to have another amazing run.
And not only that, when you don't look at the Citigroup chart, because the Citigroup is making new highs, they're coming into a major resistance area for a lot of these stocks, like the Bank of America 24. You got the JP Morgan 88 level. Like, look where that reversed yesterday, the same spot that it struggled in May. So sometimes these stocks will come back up to these areas, you know, after they've sold off significantly and struggle right at the same areas that they struggled before. Got up to 87.74, 26 cents off that big 88 number there that it struggled at in May, and then collapsed back down. I mean, Goldman Sachs, it kind of got overhead supply on that one too. Morgan's had a little bit more of a run and actually took out its May highs, but there's a couple bank stocks there that still look like they got significant resistance ahead.
And Dennis, just I'm not even going to do the air math for you. Where do you think the 50% retracement is in JP Morgan?
Let's bring up the chart.
Don't look at the chart. Morgan. Just the numbers you were just talking.
Well, how did I not look at a chart? How did I have 50% retracement without looking at a chart?
You already mentioned the number.
88.
93.98 to just under 82, 12-point move, even adding 6 to 82, that gives you 88, and that's also another gap fill. I'm not sure why we dropped, maybe it was that big 300-point down day, and just going back to gap fills, and too bad I don't trade Priceline options, a little bit too expensive for me here, but look at that. They hit it after earnings. They took it down under 1,800, and then it chugged all the way back. It filled the gap by like more than 3, 4, or 5 points there, which would have been some heat. But look at that. Filled the gap and then kaplooey right back down to 1,800. So we'll see if they can get back above 1,800 and make that a good support level. But Priceline, 100 buck drop in 2 days.
We got the Priceline expert coming on here in 2 minutes with Nick Shaheen there, so we can ask him as well what his thoughts are on PCLN, which is a wild child. Just quick and balanced look before we get Nick here on. I see Johnson & Johnson, 32,000 to sell. They're all small, I'll say that much. Alibaba, 27,000 to buy. We know that's been trading higher anyways. Colgate, 24,000 to sell. I'm just trying to see if there's kind of a trends here. I don't see much, though. I do see some of the defensive stocks, a little bit of selling balances there, but it's kind of mixed. So nothing really huge jumping out to me. Bank of America, 42,000 to buy. So that's going a little bit opposite to some of the other financials. It's very mixed here this morning.
And I just wanted to bring up one other chart, one of our longest standing bets here in Ford's. Dennis, that dip under 11.
Have I won the bet yet?
Nope. Look at it now.
Oh, you're back. You're back. The value. Values are back in favor. So Ford's going to be back in favor, of course.
And look at this. Another gap fill here because you gapped up. I'm not sure what the reason was on that. I think that's maybe when they got rid of Mark Fields. So you had a gap to fill, only a nickel gap between 10.99 and 10.94. Your 3-day low, 10.91, and now back 11.28. I need 11.67 here to win that wager. The recent
10.67?
11.67. You need 10.67.
Yeah, we need 10.67 over here. That sounds scary.
All right. Do we want to bring Nick in?
Let's take a quick break.
Quick break?
Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we work pretty hard here. We need a quick break.
All right. We'll be right back with Nick Shaheen.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcon, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel behind the glass. We have Nick Shaheen on the line. He is the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Nick, before we go and we talk markets, you got to tell us about that trip. I saw some absolutely gorgeous pictures there. How was it?
It was insane, literally, from all angles. I haven't been there in a long, long time. And it's just busy. You know, the infrastructure is busting at the seams because a lot of refugees are there. It was kind of like a sampler platter. You know, it was some good, a lot of some bad. But once you leave, it leaves you wanting a little bit more. So it was great. Glad to be back, though.
Lebanon, right? Correct?
Yes, Lebanon.
And where in Lebanon?
Where is it?
What city were you in?
Oh, okay. it's tiny, so you kind of have to do the whole thing. You land in Beirut, and then you spread out from there. So I landed in Beirut, and I went towards the north.
And how are the accommodations? Did you stay with your relatives? How was the food?
Yeah,
how was the accommodations?
Well, I was born and raised there, so I was just going home, and it was just going from one get-together to the other. I barely slept, I kid you not, 2 hours a night. So still running on caffeine, groggy here. Time difference is about 10 hours, so
wow.
The whole world is upside down. It takes about 24 hours worth of travel to get there and back, so physical 24
so
hours.
How did you monitor the markets? I mean, did you lighten up your positions before you left, or did you keep it up? That's probably why you weren't sleeping, Nick.
Yeah, well, you know what? You see I still recapped once a day at least, and still share some thoughts. And I put a 3G chip in my phone and tethered my laptop to it. I have a Surface that was easy to move around. The time difference makes it somewhat easy because the market doesn't start until 4-ish, 4:30 local time in the afternoon and goes through 11 o'clock or 11:30, depends what you're doing. So it was okay. I definitely lined up my trades using options for them not to be active during that time, more so at least 2-3 weeks out. So it wasn't too bad.
All right. So let's talk. I mean, aren't you glad that the correction is over? You were gone, and then it just, you must have been in heaven. You're like, oh my gosh, there's a sell-off. It's just time to start buying. And I know you were doing some nibbling yesterday, Nick. What confidence do you have in this? Is this just a long-term trend? What's getting you back in the market here?
Well, you've seen my range, that last range, which is basically the June range. We're still in the middle of it. We had one funky candle that poked both ends of the range. And I still, we're smack dab in the middle of it. So, corrections in quotations are being bought because the story is the same. And now this morning, you know, I read two headlines from Mnuchin, our Treasury Secretary, and he's like OPEC now. Manages prices with rhetoric. So be careful shorting anything because of that. They're willing to say anything at any point in time and say the exact opposite the next day in order to control prices. And that's my expectation. So sell-offs, dips are to be bought until that changes.
Nick, so let's just jump into some individual charts here. And we know, you know, you're saying dips are to be bought. Well, we had a huge dip the last couple of days in all those Momo stocks there. Let's just jump into a couple, though. I don't know if you can necessarily call Priceline a Momo, but it seems to trade with them. And we were just talking about just a minute ago before you came on. This thing loses over 100 points in 2 days. You know,
yeah.
What? If you let's just, you know, set up a hypothetical situation there, because obviously, you know, you're, you know, often rating puts, and you know, when you see stuff like this happening, do you see this as an opportunity to maybe, hey, say this is overdone here now, I'm willing to rate like the 1700 or 1600s, or when you start to see momentum happening like this, is this when you start to get, you know, back off?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because just yesterday, you know, I had sold a put in Priceline, and then Priceline moved higher, and then I closed it. So I sold it for like $22, and then I bought it back for like $17. So it was a nice $5 scalp, but it takes a lot of margin to sell naked puts in Priceline, obviously, but you could do the same in credit put spreads. And it was out in time, I believe it was October 1565, I want to say, from memory. And I looked at it yesterday, it was up to like $28 or $27. So I was tempted to sell it back again, but I ran out of time and I was busy doing something else, so I didn't do it. So I guess, what is it doing this morning? So I guess I should have done it then. So
$8.
Okay, well, $8 is not much in Priceline talk. So I could repeat. I could do what it all depends what we're going to do as a market. It is in the bottom end of an ascending channel that is probably about 10 months old eyeball. So I could repeat it for sure. I just wanted to get my feedback under me personally before I do anything that drastic.
Also, jump over. I want your thoughts on Google, G-O-O-G. We can go, or you want to go with the G-O-O-G-L. We never know which one we want to go. Let's go with the
G-O-O-G. I go with the L.
It hit $1,000. Everybody was pumped up. It closed over $1,000 one day there, and then the big collapse. What do you do now?
Well, look at what I'm going to put in there, and as far as chart. And one thing I noted on the chart was the volume. When it had a spike up in April, and it like changed levels from the 890 to whatever it was, 930, and then that was the basic go higher. It was on big volume. The drop with the two candles was on a bigger volume. So that doesn't speak much. It means that they shook out a lot of the weak hands. So from here, it will be market dependent. But boy, it's starting to look like it could set a right-hand shoulder for the 940 neckline, which means 940 becomes important to hold for the next few days. So if it bounces a little bit and then falls back to 940, then I would be worried if it loses that area, because then it could come back to 890-ish. Not a forecast, but something to look for. So if I do a credit put spread from a trading perspective with options, I would have to make sure it would survive that in case it does materialize.
Might as well stick with the Momo names. Facebook loses $10 in 2 days as well. What's interesting is the Facebook collapse coincided nicely with the double bottom that we had in May. May 17th and May 18th, we got down to 144.5. And look where we got to yesterday, 144.5. It's funny how sometimes these things sell off right to the levels where they found support before and then bounce.
You know, Facebook was the one I was eyeballing because they were all having a party and Facebook was not participating. It was meandering for a while. So I was, interested to see if there was some big name doing something with it. But if you see, I've drawn like red step ups in my chart for Facebook. It's not a scientific thing. It just looks like if I expand it to 5 years, you'll see multiple plateau area. So I was wondering if this was one of them. Well, this candle that we had, especially yesterday, dips to that pivot point from that started in April, early April, that served as a springboard to the higher prices and all-time highs. So around 144 is important. And again, I want to see that hold. So anything I do, put spreads, credit put spreads, will have to survive that. And if they're longer term, I would have to survive the 140. So if I were to trade it, I'd go out in time and sell credit put spreads that are way below current prices and yield like 10-15% without much headache.
Alibaba, we talked about right off the hop, but I think it's a stock we've got to cover a couple of times, and we know this is one you look at a lot too. It held on fairly well considering how hard the other ones got hit. It still got hit during the Momo crash or the Momo mini crash, but it's held on. It's up here again today. We've got, you know, some positive coverage from Raymond James helping it out. BABA, what are your thoughts? This is trading up a couple points here in the pre-market.
That was a heartbreaker for me because I saw that coming, and you can see my chart was all marked up with it, rallies. And I just did not take the trade. I did recommend it, and friends and family took it, and I missed it and was out of it. You know, there's not much I could say at these levels for a stock that's doing this well, except that you go on faith, whether you believe them or not. If you look at the last three candles, they're kind of interesting. Inside, outside, inside, whatever they call them, they're so close together and they like engulf each other. But the news was so strange and out of nobody expected the news that came out. So I don't know what to do with it at this point, except to say I missed it. And there's no way on earth I would buy it here because I know I missed it. So I do not want to buy somebody else's profits like the Nigerians or something like that. So I will wait for a better entry point for myself.
I know this is a slower moving stock here, but GE was just a terrible, you know, relative performer here. I was looking for a catalyst. I mean, Deutsche Bank is over the last month has said on two different occasions that they're going to cut the dividend. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, well, what if they don't cut the dividend? This thing, you know, this thing's going to have a nice rally. I was, you know, hoping for some kind of catalyst when I was in it. But what's your take on, you know, CEO changes? I mean, you know, is he going to make these, you know, effective changes this quickly? I mean, we hit 29.50 and pulled back. Should I go with the market on this one? Or you think if I'm patient, I can get this back closer to the gap area near 28?
This is another heartbreaker for me. If you can see my note on the chart on 531, I said technically vulnerable. I'm reading exactly my note, and I'm looking to sell puts for income. And then the headlines came out of cutting dividends, and I waited one day, and something, you know, one thing led to another. I never did it. I did share it again with friends and family. Probably saw the note too, and I should have done it, but I didn't. I listened to headlines, and I shouldn't have. On conviction, I wanted to sell puts in it for income, and they would have paid nicely. I still like it. I don't like that giant gap below it. Maybe I'll wait a couple of candles and go ahead and sell my puts in it. IBB is one that we track daily just to, because it is a big chunk of the market, especially the NASDAQ, I believe. I thought I read from a friend you know, Amazon is looking to subscriptions or something. I'm not sure if that helps them or not. It probably affects people who sell stuff more than them. But there was an opportunity, and they priced both ends of those opportunities, like a breakout and breakdown. And from here, I'm just sitting tight. And, you know, to trade the IBB, I usually just sell credit post spreads way out in time, so I don't have to fight the battle. But you have to know a. So I'm not inclined to do anything with IBB right here until I see what they want to do with that last bit of range that we've had for the last 6 months or so.
All right, I got one more for you here, and I don't think we've ever discussed this stock with you on the show. They report earnings on Thursday. Kroger, KR.
Okay, so I threw Fang for you. I know that's if you don't want to talk it, that's fine. Be that way, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway.
You could have said it beforehand.
Stick with Fang, then we'll go to the value.
You need Fang versus Fang Kroger? Are you kidding me? No, go ahead.
Fang.
Okay, so Fang is wait, I gave you the wrong one. But anyway, Fang was Yeah, it was amazing how it finally broke trend, right? They were like going to the moon and then nothing. Two candles, boom, erased a whole bunch of it because it's so dependent on one or two things in there. So it was an opportunity. So somebody said, literally, somebody yesterday asked me, you want to sell credit put spreads in Fang? I said, Fang the stock or Fang the name? So everybody now, they did it this favor by putting that label, because now Facebook and Google, which are not the same as Netflix, trade like Netflix and Amazon to that extent too. So yes, I would sell puts in some of the names of Fang, but then again, there's also that neckline that makes it look like a head and shoulder if they make the right shoulder. So anything I do would have to survive half the rally from that started in March. So in March, we had a huge rally. They retraced probably 40% of it eyeball. There's the next 20%. I would have to survive that.
All right. Then the last chart here,
Kroger.
Okay.
So we go back to Kroger, which you asked about. Kroger, I have a band for it that is probably 3 years old, maybe 2.5 years old, and it just bounced off the bottom of it. And it was a monster for a while and then fell out of sorts. So if you know the company internally, then you know what to do with it. But technically, it looks like it found its footing around that same area, 29 and below. So I would be comfortable selling risk below that. And if you want to buy some calls in order to participate for the upside, there's also opportunity there, provided whatever caused the drop in February of this year, it's gone. That's been dealt with. I don't know what caused that big drop fundamentally. So if that's gone, then there might be some upside opportunity to buy some calls or call spreads.
Yeah.
Let's get your.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
They have earnings on Thursday.
Okay, so the earnings usually is a coin flip. So if you know fundamentally they're okay and they're not going to drop a bomb on us, then I'm not one to put a lot of money at risk with earnings. So I'm usually not buying much. If I do, it's just as a lottery ticket. But if I know the stock fundamentally and I want to own it at a certain level, I have no problem selling puts in order to own it. Meaning if the 28 put is paying decent premium and I would like to own it at 28, then I would sell puts at 28 and wait for the earnings. I can even use some of that to buy some calls too, or call spreads. So if indeed it rallies, then I'm long for free. If it doesn't, then I own it for a discount.
Nick, we got a Fed meeting coming up, Fed decision. We already talked the banks a little bit, but we didn't talk the opposite coin of that, and that would be the more defensive, you know, like utility stocks, the stocks with the higher yields, the stocks that typically actually go the opposite of the banks. What do you think of the XLU here, the utility stocks, because they're going to be affected by this Fed decision as well?
They sure are, and I don't usually trade the utilities, but it seems like they're in the upper end of the range, so I'm not inclined to chase them up here. It's above my pay grade, and quite frankly, it's above everybody else's pay grade, but they probably don't admit it. What's going on with the markets? I mean, a lot of the things are broken. All I know is that the TLT, which are bonds, and the rates are inversely related. So whatever happens, I think we all expect a hike in June. So if it doesn't come, I think we're going to have a tizzy in the market, and banks, are going to be affected. And also another way we're going to be affected, I think we're also expecting two hikes more, I think. And if they say we're done for now, then banks will drop, because I do believe that there's expectations that need to be met from that perspective. But if they say, oh, we're still on track for two or three, and then next year is going to be more and even more, then banks could spike even more. So I would pay attention to that. So XLU, I'd pass on it for now. Can't wait for it. Thanks.
$8.52 S&P futures are back up at 24.32 even, up 5.50, knocking on the door of the pre-market high. Dennis, any change in imbalance land?
They're all small here. They are growing a little bit. The Alibaba buy and balance is 62,000 shares, but these are small enough that one institution company could change it all. Johnson & Johnson, I see 56,000 to sell. IBM, I see 43,000 to sell. Pfizer, I see 52,000 to sell. Some of those could be considered more value stocks, even IBM being a tech stock, but it's kind of like a value tech stock. So, there is a little bit of a trend there maybe happening that they're going to sell a little bit of the value, which they were selling yesterday afternoon. Some of your utilities are getting hit. We do have the TLT trading down, so not completely surprising there. But overall, it's pretty quiet and in balance land. Two stocks we didn't talk about here today. It is ex-dividend. Merck is ex-dividend. MRK, but they had some drug news that came out to the bell, Spencer, and I think you probably got that kicking around on your Benzinga Pro.
Yep, the Merck news is that they had given an update on their... they have a few myeloma studies. These are for... I'm not quite sure what the specific treatments are, but they had accepted their external data. They have their external data accepted by a monitoring committee, and the recommendation is to pause new enrollment in the study. So, not a great headline.
And they hit Merck on that initial headline, but again, Merck is not a one-trick pony, so it came back fairly quickly there. I noticed that they also bought Bristol-Myers on that headline. I think Bristol-Myers is a competing drug there, so interesting that Merck and BMY, they often seem when there's drug news on one of these that they'll go in opposite directions there. Bristol-Myers is catching a little bit of a bit. Obviously, that came off as Merck came back up. But Merck is ex-dividend here today, so if you're looking at your charts, it closed at $64.39, paying a 47-cent dividend. So the adjusted close is 63.92. So it's only slightly down here in the pre-market now.
And what was the drug that that news was out on? Oh, it's a myeloma drug. Okay. I just know that other one that BMY really got, was it OPVIDIO or something like that, that really had the stocks moving in an opposite direction?
A lot of letters.
Yeah, there's a lot of letters. OPVIDIA or something like that. All right, 855, Dennis, we covered the imbalances. We did a few ratings. We got earnings after the close from H&R Block here. We'll just do a quick technical preview of Herb.
It's ran up.
Herb has ran up, huh?
It had the gap and go last earnings report. So gapped up and kind of came back, tried to get into the gap area, but then caught a bit and has continued to move up here. So see what happens this time. I mean, this stock has been one that's been hated as well, but not in the last quarter. It was starting to show a little bit of love there. So it'll be interesting. It'll have to do a little bit better this quarter, though, to continue that gap and go.
Trading range the last 4 days, finding real good support at the $26 level. I can see four lows, with the lowest of those lows being $26.01. And what's going to happen at $27.08 here? That's kept the lid on the market since lid on the stock since June 5th. So little bit of a trading range, nice little bump up in volume here yesterday. So see if people want to pair here ahead of the report in H&R Block. And I think I've mentioned this before. They bought Oldie Discount, Dennis, a long, long time ago. Just after I left Oldie, H&R Block purchased it.
So, 8:57 here, and we are actually out of all of our... We've covered everything. Look, we've come to the end of the internet. We've seen everything there is to see. No, just kidding. We've always got more stocks to talk about there. So, let's jump into a couple of the charts we haven't talked about for a long time. Disney, House of Mouse. Got a nice pop the last couple of days. I guess you can consider it a value stock. At least the market's considering it a value stock. Put in a little double bottom here around the 104 area, and boom, blasting off to 107. What do you think here on the DIS chart?
I may sound like a broken record here, but you had a 12-point move down and six add to 110. Also, three highs right there at the 110 area. So if I was in that, I want to see it get up to 110 here to exit a long or try a potential short. And, man, another one I've been keeping my eye on and just been dying to short it, Mickey D's, Dennis. What a run. We've talked about this. So uncharacteristic for the stock.
It broke.
Yeah, it broke. It had a couple days. You can even hit, I looked at this thing. If you've been really quick open, where did it open yesterday? It opened at 151, even 51.08 high. Never cleared the close. Went down to 48 and change. I don't know. Maybe if it gets back up near 152, you got to... Got a quad top right at the 152 area. So huge run in Mickey D's way. I mean, look at this chart.
Yeah. It was such a run here. It does look broken on the chart here now. I think rallies are to be sold now, McDonald's. I think we finally might have seen at least the short-term top of Mickey D's.
All right. And covering one more restaurant stock, cake. That's the Cheesecake Factory. And
this morning. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for Mustafa in the chat just mentioned this one. They're cutting guidance. They're looking at their Q2 same-store sales. Spencer, same-store sales are down 1%.
Yep,
is that right?
Yep, down 1%.
Wow.
They're hitting it. CAKE down 10% because they lose 1% on their same-store sales. They'll knock 10% off the market cap here this morning, punishing cake. It's Cheesecake Factory. Joel, have you ate there before?
You know what? They should not cut their guidance. They should cut their portion sizes.
You were going to say that. I knew you would say that. That's what they're known for, is just the huge, massive, unhealthy portion.
Yeah.
Tastes good, though.
Their cheesecake's not healthy?
Oh, their cheesecake, but like if you order a burger, and I mean, it's like it's enough for three people there. Lisa won't even go there.
I did read a study maybe 2 years ago now that they analyzed the nutritional value of every fast food and major restaurant chain in the U.S. and Cheesecake Factory was the worst. It was the unhealthiest.
Really?
The unhealthiest food for you. Just in terms of sheer portion size, was huge. But anyway,
51.48. That was your low back in November of 2016, and then the last chart of the day, sticking in the restaurant theme, CMG. Talk about whole numbers. Hit 500 right on the nose or just below it, 499 and change. Now drifting back. You got to think about this 450 as a psych area. That would low back in early April. I don't know. Long ways to go for a fit retracement. You had a 150-point move there, so you needed to get 4.25. But let's see if it finds support at 450. All right, Spencer, you want to wrap things up and preview Wednesday's show?
Tomorrow we got a good guest for you, Jeremy Newsom, CEO of RealLifeTrading.com. He's a technical guy like you, so yep. We love Jeremy. He's one of our favorites for sure. So definitely looking forward to having him on this show tomorrow. Please remember that you can catch our show. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Just search for Premarket or Benzinga on any of those platforms and subscribe, and you can get the podcast directly to you. Also, the show is available on Benzinga's YouTube channel. That's Benzinga TV, so don't forget to like that channel as well. Also, want to remind you about Benzinga Pro. You can be the first to know. Trade faster and trade smarter with Benzinga Pro. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and StockTwits as well. So our show for the day, please remember that all the information and material and content is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. Have a good one out there, folks, and we'll see you tomorrow with Jeremy Newsom.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.